difference between a hypothesis and a theory?
Yeah, so a hypothesis is the first stages of a theory. A theory is like flat earth theory, and then a hypothesis is like...
No, not even remotely close.
Go on.
Can you name any scientific theories other than the theory of evolution?
Gravity.
Sure. Relativity, I would say gravity, like Newtonian gravity, that's more of a scientific law, but general relativity is a scientific theory about gravity, so sure. Yeah. Do you know any others?
Oh, now you're testing me. I think germ theory.
Cool.
Atomic theory, it's all coming back to me.
Yes.
Quantum theory.
Yes. How did we end up with atomic theory? How did we get there?
I don't know, but wasn't it some ancient Greek and he just literally guessed? He guessed that it had to be the smallest particles that make up something.
That would be the beginning of the idea behind atoms. And he, his name was Democritus, and he had ideas that atoms were materials that taste, for example, like they sting when you taste them. He thought that they were made of atoms that are shaped like triangles. He thought that water was made of atoms that are shaped like spheres because it's has no texture. So it's like balls in your mouth, but not in a good way, right? Because it's just water, you know? He thought others were shaped like hooks and some were shaped maybe like rings or whatever. Now, all that turned out not to be true.
Well, no.
Because then later what we actually learned about atoms is they're you can reduce them to a certain point. They have these specific chemical properties. They can combine with other atoms, but they always maintain their chemical identity. They change properties when they combine with things, but you can break them apart again. That was Dalton's big contribution. Then we learned that they're made of subatomic particles, protons, neutrons, electrons, and then we got into quarks and all this other weird stuff. So
well, now you're theorizing even more.
Anyways, a huge series of hypotheses that were proven true and a whole bunch of hypotheses that were proven to be false were discarded, and we eventually built up a massive body of knowledge that all points in the kind of in the same direction. A theory is essentially a collection of proven hypotheses. That's really what a theory is. So we know with about as much scientific certainty as we can that protons, neutrons, and electrons exist, that there are 91 naturally occurring elements and their properties and how their properties align up with other elements, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Evolution is the same. We know for a fact that evolution occurs. There have been other hypotheses about evolution, like transmutation and things like that, which turned out not to be true, and those have been discarded. There's also like ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. That was tossed out and disproven. Lamarckism, tossed out and disproven. But the modern synthesis, which combines Darwin's basic premises with genetics, we know that for a fact.
So does a fact mean 100%?
So I don't think a human can have absolute certainty, but if that, and I don't see anybody, like, I've never met anybody that doesn't really agree with that. But if that's the case, then there are no facts. So which would mean the statement there are no facts is a paradoxical statement that you can't make, but then we can't assess the validity of we can't even begin to ask ourselves, do facts exist? So it's a stupid pedantic's not the right word. It's just a stupid word game thing that I'm not interested in. Language has a certain utility to it. We all have loose associations with the words we use, but we all know what we mean, except when you talk to philosophy bros that try to obfuscate everything. So yes, there are scientific facts. We know things.
Sure. All right. Well, going back to Darwin, what was his, what drives evolution? What's the big proof for it?
Genetics, the fossil record, comparative anatomy, embryology, molecular biology.
We'll start with the fossil record. You've
Great.
probably heard this before, but the gaps. Why are there so many gaps, Peterson? Missing links.
Because it's extraordinarily rare that anything would fossilize, but you only need one. The theory of evolution predicts that in the past, life forms were different. No other idea proposed. Yeah, no, there aren't any like competing ideas that propose that that would ever be the case. And it turns out that the fossil record is composed basically entirely of organisms that don't exist anymore. But where do
Sure.
animals come from? Well, when a mommy and a daddy organism love each other very much, right? Which means this is how we got here, and the things that were doing that in the past weren't the same species as today, but there are predecessors. Ergo, we're the descendants of different organisms from the past. That's evolution.
All right, so you said that it's extremely rare for fossilization to occur. So what are the ideal conditions for that to happen?
Typically, a wet environment with rapid burial in an anoxic environment and the possession of hard parts by the organism. You can be fossilized in tar, which is rapid burial, but no water, or trapped in amber as well.
What about ice?
What about ice? Well, those aren't, I get those are a different type of fossil, I guess, but well, I mean, I guess you could say so are the ones in tar pits and whatever. We call those preserved remains. But yeah, you can be trapped in ice. It's not a fossil in the sense that we think about
Oh yeah,
fossils, but
I get what you're saying. But in some sense, it's more preserved than fossils.
yeah, I mean you have like actual organic tissue in frozen things.
Sure. So the thing I don't understand is ice ages occur every 100,000 years, and the average lifespan of a mammal species, like for the species to become extinct, is roughly like 1 million years. So that's about 10 ice ages that each species lives through, roughly speaking. So I don't see why you wouldn't find loads of fossils buried underground in ice caps, glaciers, all that sort of stuff. Very suspicious.
Oh my. Do we currently live in an ice age?
No.
So there are, where are the continental ice sheets?
North Pole and South Pole.
No, the North Pole's not a continental ice sheet. There's a continental ice sheet over Greenland and yes, at the South Pole. So the ice that would have trapped the woolly mammoths and woolly rhinos and whatever during the last glacial maximum, that ice is gone, and the animals that would have been preserved in it thawed out, rotted away. Now, a lot of them are still frozen in some permafrost, and they get found. So many of them were found in the 1800s that there were like train depots that were the floors were completely covered with mammoth ivory, but people just gobbled it all up and turned it into crap or whatever. So they're exceedingly rare nowadays. But yeah, there would be, but we're in an interglacial period. So
What does that mean?
means that there aren't any continental ice
Oh.
sheets over the mainland continents except currently Greenland and Antarctica.
Get what you're saying. No, that's fair. Damn, didn't think of it like that. Well, okay, so we'll go even further back. Have you seen life come from non-life?
What is life?
I couldn't give you the actual characteristics, but it's like eating, shitting, reproducing, something like
I
that.
didn't ask for the characteristics. I asked what life is. If I asked you what is a car and you say car go vroom, that's not what a car is.
Can you define it for me?
Chemistry.
No. What?
No, not nair. Yes.
No. What? So you're going to say if I get a cup and put some vinegar and bicarbonate soda in it, I've got life.
It's not that kind of chemistry, but yeah, life is
a bit more specific.
Like, is there anything you can tell me about life that is not reducible to chemistry?
Everything's reducible to chemistry.
Maybe. I mean, everything's reducible to physics, but you have to have molecules doing interesting things, and that's when does chemistry start being chemistry and not physics? Well, a physicist would gleefully tell you never, and like they're technically true, but whatever, fuck off. So.
Oh, you didn't really answer that there. You sort of just said it's, oh, we don't really know. Like you said, when does, what is life made out of? And you said it's chemistry. So
life's not made out of chemistry, but life is chemistry. Life is a, like living, what a living thing is life. The fundamental like unit of life is contained within the cell. I'm not really alive. I contain life, really, because the cells are alive and they can exist independent of me. Indefinitely, in fact, as Henrietta Lacks is proving to us. But life is a self-contained chemical system. So
if that's the case, then it would be pretty, well, not easy, but it could be
reasonable. Wait, did I say self-contained? Is that what I meant? It's a self-contained chemical system capable of Darwinian evolution, right? That's the definition for life. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to. Sorry.
No, that's all right. So you're basically saying that it's I don't even know what you're saying. It's just that we don't know. It's just chemistry. Well, if you're saying it's chemistry, then why can't we recreate it in a lab?
The weather, do you think that every time a cloud forms, a miracle happens?
No, we've got an explanation for that.
Do you think that weather, now we can make clouds, but do you think the weather in general is controlled by spooky forces? Or do you think it's like literally just physical phenomena?
Yeah, physical phenomena.
Right. We can't change the weather or create hurricanes or anything like that. But that doesn't lend credence to the idea that therefore miracles occur every time it rains or something like that. And, you know, we didn't even know how DNA worked until 1952, 53, 54. I don't remember when they published their paper, but yeah, like the idea that we can't create life even though we know what it's made of, etc. That's not really an argument that life requires some sort of miraculous spark.
Well, the fact you brought up DNA, that's a bit of a thing in itself. Like,
I literally never said the words DNA.
Yes, you did.
I really don't think that I did.
Damn. All right. Well, I'm just going to speak about what I was speaking about. The complexity and fine tuning of the universe. DNA, you know, we've got dark matter, dark energy, quantum physics. Like, come on. There's things that are at our scale that we can't see and we don't appreciate. But once you get really small, minuscule quantum scale, there's magical things going on. And then when you get into the macro scale, even grander things are happening. It's just
out of our... Oh, I did say DNA. Man, I'm fucking stupid. That's so funny. Yeah, I was talking about DNA. Oh, God, that's funny. I don't know how I forgot that, I guess. My bad.
That's a dub for me. I'm ready to leave right now.
Yeah. Anyways, so what about quantum mechanics?
I get we don't know everything about it, but like maybe I don't understand it properly. But how the hell can you look at something? It changes when an observer is looking at it, how the particle acts. I don't understand that. That's got to be some special divine force that determines that.
Except it's describable by equations. No God, no supernatural phenomena is describable through equations. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, can you just simplify that for me? What's the equation in layman terms?
For physics, I'm not a particle physicist. Well, like, I can't describe it in layman's terms.
For how, like, the electron is everywhere around the atom until it's observed, and then it chooses the most probable spot.
I don't know what those, I don't know if they're called field equations or what. No, I cannot give you a layman's description of the equations. You can look up the equations.
I have. I mean, I just can't. I'm not bright enough for that.
Okay, that's fine, but that doesn't mean therefore God.
Yeah.